Creation versus evolution. When I used to teach Sunday school at another church, I always learned so much more in preparation than I usually did listening to a teacher. And that's still the case. We're going to begin in chapter 1 of Genesis. We're going to read a little bit of scripture. And we're going to go over some scientific things that point to creation instead of evolution. Most of this is taken from a CD set that I bought from Steve Chiocolanti. He's a pastor in Australia, and he was a scholar and did an excellent job in this particular CD. There's 12 sets, and he takes the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, 4,000 years in 12 CDs. And it's just amazing. A lot of information. The first CD is the one I'm going over tonight. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Bible is inspired, the inerrant word of God. And scripture tells us in John 10:34-36, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him who the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God." So in the scripture, Jesus said, the scripture cannot be broken. The Greek word, luo, is a verb to loosen, break up, destroy, dissolve, unloose, melt, put off. The scripture cannot be broken. Also, God's word, he said, my word will go out and it will accomplish what I want it to accomplish. So the basis of the Bible is that we believe it's inspired, written by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, over many years with many different people, and it all says the same thing. There's not any error. It's in error. Not any error in the Bible. Here's where it gets started. Satan sows doubt. He did this in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. If you sow doubt, then people don't believe the Bible is true. Or people don't believe that God means what he says, or mean what is written, they're deceived. That's what happened to Eve. She believed Satan, and she listened to his words and was deceived in thinking, well, God doesn't want me to eat of the tree because I'll know good and evil, and I'll be like him. So Satan cast doubt. That's how he did people. He cast doubt. Many people I've heard in the world today, in many avenues, YouTube and other places, don't believe the Bible. They don't believe it's true. Oh, it's a fairy tale. And they come up with their own religion, their own way of living. So here we have creation versus evolution. In creation, we have the meaning of life. We have standards and morals. God ordained marriage, laws, the creation, and God's word. Evolution has no meaning to life. Abortion or murder, there's no consequences to sin. There's sexual immorality, lawlessness, evolution, and man's opinion. And this is where it starts, the Big Bang Theory. Evolution says that years and years ago, 4.5 billion years ago, some kind of little nugget exploded and made everything.
And that doesn't make any sense to me. If you took a pile of bricks and a pile of wood and cement and nails and a couple of sticks of dynamite and you blew it up, could you then turn around and have the keys to a brand new home? It doesn't work that way. And this is what they say happened. So we have a few things that wrong with that. Number one, the missing origin of what exploded. What was it? Where did it come from? Nobody can explain that. Number two, a missing fuse. If there was something out there that exploded, why did it explode? Number three, the star and planet formations. When there's an explosion in space, what's released is gas and radiation. It doesn't make planets and stars like Genesis says. Number four, missing life in other parts of space. If evolution came about with a big bang, there should be equal life all over the universe. But yet, we're the only planet that has life that we know of. So the origin of life evolution, number one, life began as microbes that evolved into mankind. Somebody put it one time that it went from the goo to the zoo to you. And that's just not right. It took place over millions of years, billions of years. However, no one has been able to explain the missing link. The missing link is there has not been one species that has evolved into a different species. There have been species that have fins that maybe lose them and evolve without fins, but they're still the same species. There's not a species that evolved into a different one. They can't explain that. There is no evidence of one species evolving into the other. The origin of life in Genesis is the world and the universe was created approximately 6,000 years ago, as it says in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Everything was created in 6 days. And man was created in the image of God. On day one, we had earth, space, time, and light. On day two, the atmosphere. Day three, the dry land and plants. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, the sea and flying fish. And six, land animals and man. Here's something interesting I found out about the third day, dry land and plants. At one point, my wife and I got into essential oils, trying to get back to something natural remedies and that kind of thing, and aromatic remedies. And I studied this. The plants that God made on day three have the same molecular structure in their cells as we do. That's why the oils you can rub on your skin and it's absorbed. It was amazing when I read all this, how intricate everything has been formed from the plants that have the same structure that we do in our cells that can be absorbed easily, to all kind of things, the way that the earth is formed, the way it's in an orbit, just right. So that we don't get too hot or too cold. So in the beginning, God created everything. And John 3:12 says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Earthly things are observable, testable. We can look at it. We can study it. Earthly things have been proven by Einstein that the universe has a beginning and will have an end by the theory of relativity. So let's talk about the age of the Earth. If the Earth was formed, like they said, 4.5 billion years ago, here's the evidence for a 6,000-year-old Earth versus millions of years or billions of years. Number one, space dust. Every year, approximately 14 million tons of space dust fall on this planet. It's washed away by weather, by rain, and washing the seas and washing the oceans. If we look at the moon, though, when they went to the moon, they were perplexed because the moon has no weather. And so all that space dust, 14 million tons a year, falls on the moon as well. But when they got to the moon, they were expecting to find about 197 feet of dust over 4.5 billion years. But what they found was 3 or 4. Which means it could not be 4.5 billion years ago. It's more like 6,000. So the astronauts only found that. There's holes all in the evolution. The lunar orbit, the moon, is receding from the Earth at about 4 centimeters per year, which means at that present rate, the moon would be totally out of the sun's orbit in 4.5 billion years. Another scientific fact that they can't explain. Skip one. The Earth's magnetic field is decaying by about 5% every year. And a creationist, Dr. Thomas Barnes, proved that at the rate the Earth could not be more than 10,000 years old, because the moon would be so far away from Earth you wouldn't be able to see it in 4.5 billion years. Another proof of the age of the Earth is comets, which are a big ball of ice. They circle the sun. It takes about 40 orbits for the comets to dissipate, and they finally go into the sun. But if in 4.5 billion years all the comets would have been gone by now, and there's still plenty of them. Another reason scientists scratch their heads. After you took the Earth, here's some things that God made on our planet that could not have been made by a Big Bang theory to produce this. For example, the ocean's currents. It's like a global conveyor belt. They keep the planet cool. They keep everything flowing at just the right temperature, just the right speed, so that the Earth would be cool. Another thing is that air is that we breathe is an exact chemical mixture that we need. Next one, there's plenty of fresh water. Next one, the temperature range is good for life. If the Earth was just a little bit closer to the sun, it would be way too hot for life. Just a little bit further away, it would be too cold. It's perfect in orbit. And the other thing about that, it stays in orbit because God himself is making that happen. He created everything, and he manages everything. All the stars, all the planets are under his control. And there's a whole nother hour talk about all the moon and sun and how they go through eclipses and what that means in God's timing. A lot of the eclipses I've studied, and the moon eclipses are on Jewish holidays. Very interesting. There's a ton of things that are coming out about that. Gravity. I'm thankful for gravity. The protective magnetic shield is being recycled into the metal. Gravity's one. Next is the magnetic shield. The next is the crust. In studying this, I found that the subduction zones that everybody's talking about in the Pacific Northwest where one plate dives under the other plate, actually goes down and is molten again, and comes back out from volcanic activity to produce land. That's how Hawaii was formed. So the earth is regenerating itself as these things happen. And a lot of this, you know, takes a lot of time to you know, Hawaii wasn't built in a day. But God has made the planet self-sustaining, self-regenerating, and everything about it is perfect for us. The plants that we eat, everything that's provided, the air. And it's just impossible to do anything like this in that amount of time.
I mean, with evolution. Another key is the human population. The population growth is geometric, so we can calculate the population growth from 01 AD to today produced about 8 billion people.
If the Earth was 4.5 billion years old, we would be up to our neck and bones. There would be so many people at 4.5 million years. It would be incredible. They can't explain that.
The last section deals with problems with billions of years to make fossils.
That's what we're told. Fossils are made under pressure, under billions of years, and it takes all this time and pressure. But if you think about it, if a fish dies in a lake, what does it do? It dissolves. Eventually, it all dissolves down to the bone. And we have fossils with plants, and I'll show you some others, some fish at the end, that have intricate detail, which proves that it was a catastrophic event, sudden, that came down and smashed fish, plants, or whatever, in a cataclysmic event, and made the fossils.
The fish-eating fish produces this, and here it is. This is the Last Supper. This is a fossil of a fish eating a fish. So if it took millions of years for that to happen, how could that be caught? How could it be caught? Did the fish say, okay, let's just wait here for 4.5 billion years until we produce a fossil? That tells me that it was sudden, it was cataclysmic, probably the flood. So, there's a lot of holes in evolution. There's a lot of holes in it. I studied this in school and I've studied it a lot since then. And I'm so glad that we have the Word. This is much easier to believe than all of that. It's such a leap of faith to try to do those calculations in your head and to think about all this stuff. So, I have some more that I want to read. I wanted to read through Genesis. I've already read the first two verses. And let's hear what God said one more time to refresh our mind. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the first day. And right there when I read that, it brought to mind something I picked up some time ago. God's day began with evening, just like the Jewish day was. The
the first, the they're backward from us. Maybe that's the Gentile first pulling away. The evening and the morning. So the evening comes first with God. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land. And he gathered the waters and called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds. Here's another point. If this was all from a big bang, how could it produce a tree that has the seeds? That was God's plan. So how could a big bang produce the plants, the trees, all the seeds included in the tree, like when we came first, the chicken or the egg? How could that be? It said it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kind, trees bearing fruit with seed in according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning and the third day. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. The sun and the moon were made by the Lord exactly the way that they should be, so that when they pass through each other, you have eclipses. God did that on purpose. And the season that it's talking about here is called Moedim, which is feast. Observances of the Lord God, signs and observances that we can get into a lot of them. A lot of these signs, a lot of blood moons, when the moon is red, they call it the blood moon. A lot of those are happening on feast days, on God's appointed times, as signs for the Israelites, for the Jews. And it said that the sun eclipses are signs for the Gentiles. We had one in 2017, starting in Portland, Oregon. I was up there when it happened. They went across the nation down to North Carolina. In 2024, another one's going to come. It's going to make an X. And in the middle of that X is Little Egypt. In the middle of that X, lots of things that from studying that are coming out now that people didn't know about, didn't think about. A lot of information coming out now. 14, let their light be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark seasons, days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made stars. He set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning and the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And every evening, and every morning, and the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made wild animals according to their kinds, and livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female, he created them. So, that's a little snippet of evolution. A lot of things that are wrong with it. I want to spend a couple of minutes now talking to you about our Taco Bell program. I mean, habanero. So, I just wanted to